The legendary MIT Media Lab started out as a bit of academic insurgency, became a wildly innovative partnership between industry and scientists, grew up to be a romper room of innovation and pop culture inventions, and has entered middle age as a center of creativity marshaled for an enormous diversity of goals, from brain science to childhood education to robotics to music and more. That's music from the works of composer Professor Todd Machover. And you might call Rosalind Picard and Todd Machover part of the Media Lab's varsity team. They've been working there for decades. Rosalind is director of effective computing at the MIT Media Lab, and composer and inventor Todd Machover is professor of music and media. Welcome to both of you.
Hi, John.
Hi, John. Great to be here.
It's so great to talk to you again. Explain how, Todd, and you're a starter, right?
I think I was there. I arrived when the building opened.
When the building opened, and you...
I came about 25 years ago.
Right, 25 years ago, both for a long, long time. What were your expectations when you arrived, Todd, as a musician, right?
Absolutely. So I grew up with a mom who's a pianist, a dad who's a computer graphics person, went to Juilliard, and ended up in Paris, where at the Pompidou Center there was a great place for music and technology. And one day, Nicholas Negroponte, the founder of the Media Lab, called me, and he said, we're starting a lab at MIT, which is going to be much more collaborative than you can imagine. It's not just music and technology. It's everything that has to do with human quality of life. So it's much cooler than being in Paris. Would you be interested in coming back to Boston? So my expectation was that, first of all, since MIT isn't and wasn't primarily a music school, there might be a kind of openness for thinking about music there. And that since the boundaries between disciplines at MIT and especially at the Media Lab are so fluid, I thought it would be a fantastic place to explore music and other things in a really innovative context. And I think that's absolutely turned out to be true.
And for you?
I actually came to the Media Lab from another lab at MIT to escape working on media. The Media Lab was pushing out its HDTV program at the time. And I guess they had decided it was kind of done and they wanted to do the next thing. And it got moved to my advisor elsewhere at MIT and I didn't want to work on it. And I decided to work on some really cool new ways to model and understand the content of the future media.
And in many ways, while the story of tech in popular culture is the story of gadgets and inventors, at the Media Lab, it was more the cultural, deep story of what the implications of all this technology were. How did that inform your research and where did it lead you into really a realm that is almost... It's not even almost, it's medical, right?
Yes, I took a very unexpected turn of events. I was trained as an engineer and used to dealing with things that were very objective. And as I was trying to learn how to model our brains, I ran into these parts of the brain that were involved in emotion. And as a woman in science, that was the last thing I wanted to be involved in. But as I learned more about it, I realized this is going to be vital for understanding how to build truly intelligent technology that makes our lives better.
And what kinds of things have emerged from your research?
Well, I named a new field of research called affective computing that went on to have international conferences and a major international journal. And we have been able to develop a lot of technologies that have now left the lab.
And Todd, I've likened you to a collision between Kickstarter and Mozart. In the sense that you have this wildly collaborative sense of what composing can be, but you've also been involved in great sort of pop culture inventions that people would recognize in things that they can buy as almost, computer games about music, changing the way that we think of virtuosity in playing instruments.
And so I think partly because my parents and also a great deal because of the Media Lab culture, I have indeed been interested in pushing the musical form in general so that, we're always thinking of new ways to stimulate the ear and the mind through music, but at the same time, finding every possible way to allow people to be, anybody to be involved in music making, and especially to connect people through music. So, as you say, things like Guitar Hero and Rock Band grew out of our lab, basically coming from research we did to build a special cello for Yo-Yo Ma, so it was unexpected.
And it's the idea of democratizing virtuosity, really?
It is. Well, actually, what it's come to now, what really interests me now is the fact that you see it especially in the arts, but I think you see it in science everywhere, that we have a certain I think we have a correct respect for people who are at the top of each profession, but I think it's gotten way too far. We have a kind of idolization of celebrity. And so even with social media, you know, you can follow your favorite artist on social media and you can write them notes, but they'll never write you back. And I think that creating a texture and a culture where people with all kinds of backgrounds can actually talk to each other and make things together, not just at a makerspace, but at Symphony Hall, it's really important. So we've been making symphonies recently where we make a portrait of a city and invite everybody in the city, not just to send in sounds, but really to collaborate from beginning to end on what the symphony is.
And that bit of music that at the top was part of your Detroit project, right?
That was the very beginning. It starts with the very first engine that Henry Ford made, his kitchen sink engine.
Wow.
And it covers quite a lot. I mean, Detroit's so incredible. So there are quite a lot of sounds that were shared by people in Detroit. And I actually ended up inviting quite a few people from Detroit to be on stage with the Detroit Symphony Orchestra when this premieres in a couple of weeks.
There was a great party on Friday at the Kresge Auditorium here at MIT. And you wrote a 30-second symphony or helped write or explain this. And I think we have the 30-second symphony to play.
Well, so Nicholas Negroponte, at some point in the process of planning, said, would I be interested in making a little music for the celebration on Friday? And so I said, well, just how little do you mean? And he said, well, how about 30 seconds? So we negotiated and I said, how about 3 times 30 seconds? And so what I decided to do was to contact 30 of our former students over 30 years who had all worked in our Opera of the Future group, ask each of them to make a 30-second composition that expressed something about themselves and something about their experience at the Media Lab, send them to me. And then I asked my current students to work with me to figure out what the heck to do with these. So the first thing we did is to make a 1-second snippet of the 30 sounds, which is hard because you have to find the core of each one. And is that something maybe we could listen to?
Let's hear it.
Far too large for one.
Marvin. So, a future for students at the Media Lab, would you recommend it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Rosalind Picard and Todd Machover, happy birthday, MIT Media Lab.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.